consider fast track an essential ingredient for successful trade talks. We've had fast track authority since 1974, and we will need it, and we want to need to keep it if we hope to pursue these vital trade agreements. The Uruguay round of the GATT talks, the North American Free Trade Agreement, and of course the Enterprise for the Americas initiative. Without fast track, very candidly, we jeopardize those agreements. And we jeopardize trade, and we jeopardize American jobs. Right now, we have the chance to look forward, to expand economic growth, to expand opportunity from the Yukon to the Yucatan. The North American Free Trade Agreement with Canada, our largest trading partner, and Mexico, our third largest trading partner, would create the largest, richest market in the entire world. Think about it. 360 million consumers and $6 trillion in annual output. A unified North American market would let each of our countries build on our strengths. It would provide more and better jobs for U.S. workers. It would stimulate price competition, lower consumer prices, improve product quality. The agreement would make necessities such as food and clothing more affordable and more available to our poorest citizens. It would raise productivity and produce a higher standard of living throughout the world. And the resulting economic integration will strengthen American businesses in the global marketplace. Let me just try to illustrate the stakes that are involved in the fast-track debate by discussing the Mexican component of the North American Free Trade Agreement. Trade with Mexico has helped both our countries. Just 4 years ago, we had a $4.9 billion trade debt deficit with Mexico. And since then, Mexico's president, Carlos Salinas, has slashed tariff rates. He came in determined to shake things up in Mexico, and he's done a great job at that. He slashed the tariff rates. Our exports to Mexico have increased nearly 130% to $28 billion, and our trade deficit has shrunk two-thirds to $1.8 billion. This export boom has created an estimated 264,000 new jobs in the United States, and each additional $1 billion in exports creates nearly 20,000 new jobs here in the United States. And meanwhile, the trade boom has offered new opportunities for Mexican workers. It's offered prosperity to those who before had lived in squalor. Some people are concerned about these negotiations with Mexico. And just this morning, in the spirit of working closely with Congress, which I'm determined to continue, we sent a detailed report to Chairman Lloyd Bentsen of the Senate Finance Committee, to Congressman Dan Rostenkowski, the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, and to the Majority Leader, Richard Gephardt, who incidentally has just come back from Mexico. And I believe that this letter and our report responded to the concerns, the understandable concerns that they have raised. I gave them my personal commitment to close bipartisan cooperation in the negotiations. While economic studies show that a free trade agreement would produce jobs in the United States, as well as greater exports and output, I know that there's a concern, not just on Capitol Hill, but in many of the labor halls around this country, about job loss. And our negotiators will address these concerns in provisions of the North American Free Trade Agreement. We will ensure an adequate transition period for workers in import-sensitive industries. We will work with Congress to see that dislocated workers receive proper assistance and retraining. I believe we have the answers to the questions that are being raised by the labor unions and by some on Capitol Hill. At the same time, it is worth noting that the agreement will create high wage, high skill, manufacturing jobs in the machinery, computer, telecommunications, and electronic industries. As Mexico develops further, it'll need even more of these high-tech goods and services. Those goods and services are more likely to come from the United States than from anyone else in the world. And secondly, President Salinas and the Mexican people have no interest in allowing their country to become a pollution haven for U.S. companies, because economic growth goes hand in hand with environmental protection. We will expand environmental cooperation programs parallel to the free trade talks. I can assure you, having dealt with him and talked to him quite recently in Houston, Texas, on this very problem, that President Salinas is deeply concerned about the problems facing the environment. He has already ordered shut down the major polluting refinery, the Pemex refinery, in Mexico. And that is strong evidence of his good faith, because he had to take on some very powerful people to make that happen. I will share with you a story that maybe some of you heard me refer to before, but it made a real impact on me when we were talking about the environment. And he says that when the school children around Mexico City, you know, where they have that high smog content, and when the school children paint the sky, they don't show the stars. They paint it gray or black, and they can't see the stars. And he said, my ambition is that these young children in Mexico will paint in the stars. And I think that says, as emotionally as I could possibly say it, something about this man's commitment to doing something about the environment. And so we are concerned, but we believe that the environmental cooperation programs that we have in mind and that we've discussed with him can satisfy anybody who's reasonable on this question. And finally, President Salinas has also made it clear that this agreement will improve opportunities for Mexican working people. Mexico has strong laws regulating labor standards and workers' rights. Beyond those, we will also begin new initiatives to expand labor cooperation between our two countries. None of these things can happen, though. None of this can happen if we cannot bargain in good faith. If the fast-track procedures that we have employed for 17 years, Republicans and Democrat administrations alike, suddenly are withdrawn or weakened, the United States must continue to open new markets, create new technologies, and seize new opportunities before us. I am confident, and so are the American people, that we can and will prevail in this exciting and challenging world. And I am confident that as we head into the next century, the next American century, a strong and healthy America will lead the way. Thank you all very much for listening and having me over to this most prestigious forum. I'm delighted to have been here. Thank you all.